Hey there, everyone, and welcome back to The Outer Rim. This is episode number 75. I'm your host, Chris, as always, and I'm here with Mike and Lindsay to talk Star Wars.
Hey.
I've Irished my blue milk, and I am ready to go. Is there like an equivalent of Ireland in Star Wars? Has that been settled? We know there's like Scotlandish with the gang from Force Awakens, but
I don't know. I mean,
could be.
That's something to ponder.
Yeah,
that's something to ask at Celebration.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Speaking of Celebration.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, how was that for a segue? We just want to let people know about the Drowning in Moonlight Gala. We talked about it last time. That's going to be Thursday, April 13th from 7:30 to 10:30 at the Rosen Center Hotel, so not too far from the convention center. Tickets are $40 each. All the proceeds are going to the Midnight Mission. So you can go to drowninginmoonlight.com for more info. Chris, I think you're going. Lindsay, I think you're going. Joel is also going from our Slack. Mm-hmm. And I'm donating a piece to be auctioned off. So if you guys are going to Celebration, this is going to be a really cool time. So mm-hmm. Everyone should do this.
Yeah, I originally wasn't going to go, like I said, the past few episodes. But I found out that some of our staff members and Slack donators are going to be going too. So might as well. I mean, it'll be a good time. And I think last I looked, I think Lou might be going as well. That's the only other person I think that, answered my, cause I asked it in our Slack channel and I think he's the only person that replied. So, but yeah, it should be a good time. I'm looking forward to it now that I'll actually, you know, have people there that I can talk to that won't run away from me.
Oh, so I can't do that.
Yeah. Sorry, dang. Lindsay. Hey, but I'm sure, because you'll probably be cosplaying, right?
It depends. It depends on how I'm feeling. I might just wear something. I might be in my, like, fancy Kylo Ren dress.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll be as, yeah. It'll be cosplay-ish.
Well, maybe you can blend in with the crowd.
Yeah. My friend's coming with me, so one of my friends will be with me.
Okay.
Who does a mean? She does a mean Rey and a mean Luke Skywalker. She does a really good Luke Skywalker, but yeah, she'll be there.
Cool.
I bought our tickets
happy
today.
Rey.
Yeah.
So we do have a little bit of Celebration news. I feel like every week now we're going to have something to talk about that's related to Celebration.
As we get that ramp up to Celebration, yeah, we're
yeah.
gonna get,
yeah.
It's gonna be basically news dumps.
Mm-hmm.
Of all the things I'm not going to go see, so
yeah. Sorry, Mike. You'll be there.
That's
in spirit.
Fine.
You'll be there in spirit.
I will be there in spirit.
So they announced this week that the Thursday panel that will kick off the whole event. Last U.S. Celebration was in Anaheim was the TFA panel, and we know the Last Jedi panel is going to be on Friday morning. Well, on Thursday morning. To kick everything off, we're going to have a celebration of the 40th anniversary of Star Wars, which I think is pretty wild to say that it's 40 years old now. I feel like just yesterday it was the 30th anniversary.
Yeah, I can remember a lot of the stuff. The store I was working in at the time had the Star Wars license, so our product, I mean, I work for Fossil, like the watches, and we had a lot of the 30th anniversary watches, and that doesn't mm-hmm. seem like 10 years ago, but hey, it was.
Yeah.
So, man.
Mm-hmm. But it's going to feature Kathleen Kennedy and Warwick Davis. It promises to highlight the impact of the galaxy far, far away and the fandom that has propelled it has had for the last four decades and include many not-to-be-missed surprises. So, many people this week have been speculating about what these surprises could be. There was a rumor that maybe, you know, George Lucas would show up because he hasn't been at a celebration in a while. I don't think he's been to one since they sold Lucasfilm.
No, that yeah. he hasn't.
And I don't think he's...
I think he will. I think he will because it's the 40th anniversary and because they're going to park a truckload of money at his front door. If not physically be there, he's going to
like
do a
small
he's going to do like a Skype call.
Yeah, or like a small little prepared video.
Yeah, or a prepared video. Like, he's going to have some presence here.
Mm-hmm. I can see it. Although I don't know if he'll be there, but it would be a pretty big surprise, I think.
Yeah, apparently he lives in Chicago now. Not that he can't fly out to Orlando, but mm-hmm. like, I mean, he's kind of secluded himself. He just kind of does his own thing now, and maybe he doesn't want to go. But like I said, truckloads of money can move mountains. So.
Yep. But the second rumor, aside from George Lucas attending the panel, is that maybe they will announce the finally getting a good copy of the original theatrical versions of the original trilogy on DVD or Blu-ray, whichever one you prefer. Now, as we know, back in 2007, the Unaltered Trilogy was released, but it was in like a limited edition thing. It was packed in with the 2004 release, too. But a lot of people criticized it because it was a cheap Laserdisc master, and it, honestly, it looked pretty bad. I mean, I don't really care because that doesn't bother me, but a lot of people are still upset that they didn't get the... like a clean looking version of the unaltered stuff, which kind of, if you ask me, it kind of contradicts the whole point. I mean, if you're going to clean stuff up, then it's not really the unaltered trilogy, if you ask me, but whatever. People just want it in high definition pretty much. But the problem is, this is a question I was asking. Do we want or really even need the unaltered trilogy at this point? I mean, it seems to be the last holdout that fans are asking for.
I'll go first.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yes. This is something I feel really, really passionate about. I still have a VHS. Like, I still have my VHS copies. I don't own any of the altered versions, period. I don't like any of the altered. Like, I feel really strongly about this. I'm a purist when it comes to the original trilogy. Like, I didn't like any of the changes. I didn't like the added explosion. I didn't even like the added explosions because I felt like it was taken away from the work that the people who won their Oscars had done. Like, it went over the work that people had done and won Oscars for. It was adding stuff that I didn't need. I didn't need any of the additions. When I went and saw the additions in theaters, I was really excited to see Star Wars in theaters when they released them back in theaters with the additions. But it didn't look good at the time. And it was too much. To me, it was really cluttered. And when you watch it now, the CGI doesn't look good at all to me. And I would love to have a copy on Blu-ray and DVD where I didn't have to buy, you know, the limited edition copies of the original trilogy with all the additions to get an unaltered version of it as a bonus. Like, I would love to be able to buy what I loved, what I grew up with mm-hmm. in its pure form. Like, I don't care if it's, I don't care if it's the Laserdisc master, if it's the VHS master, like, that doesn't matter to me, but I want to be able to have the unaltered versions, and that really matter. I really care about. I own like three different versions of the Blade Runner, for goodness sake. I mean, and I understand the whole death of the author thing and everything, and I understand why George Lucas felt like he made changes and that he felt like it wasn't finished, and that's his prerogative, and I don't have an issue with that. But at the same time, I don't see what it hurts for there to exist both copies in the wild. So for the people who like the editions, can have the editions on Blu-ray and DVD and Laserdisc and VHS and however they want it. And then the people who want the original versions can have the original versions. Like, why has that been so hard to have? Mm-hmm. And I don't see why we've had to wait this long, and we still may not get it. Like, the fact that that might be the big surprise, and I'm still jonesing for it. Like, it's that I have real, obviously I have real strong feelings about it. But I hate that I have to watch it on VHS to get my original versions.
Mm-hmm.
The Mike, end.
What do you
I said it before when you asked me about the special editions turning 20. Like I my perfect version of Star Wars is a combination of multiple versions.
Mm-hmm.
But as you're like, Lindsay's right. Like, there's no reason for this to not come out. Like, there's none. Do I think it's going to happen? Maybe. Like, it would be a really exciting thing to have happen. It would be really good because it's, you know, the 40th anniversary. But, I mean, we got to remember, Fox is the holdout right here. Like, they're mm-hmm. the unknown factor.
Yeah.
Like that's always been the deciding factor. Well, like whether or not Fox has any say in this.
I think most of it back at least in the 2000s was George.
Mm-hmm. It was George.
And
wait, no.
Because I'm not sure. I know Fox has at least a little bit of a say, but I mean Disney has all the money in the world. They can easily do that. Plus.
Yeah,
the rights to the original trilogy, A New Hope excluded, go away from Fox in 2020. So
no, but that's what I'm saying. A New Hope is the big one. They know Fox knows that's the moneymaker.
Yeah.
So they can ask for obscene amounts of money, and it's whether or not Disney wants to, you know, depending on how many truckloads they delivered to George Lucas, how many truckloads do they have left for Fox? Like that's what I'm saying is the unknown factor. How much is Fox going to ask for the rights for this?
Mm-hmm.
And how does that affect the other movies? Because like while Disney may own the other movies and the entire original trilogy eventually, like Fox, you know, that fanfare is still on all of those old ones.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a part of that experience is the fanfare.
Yeah.
And we've already seen how it kind of changes in the digital releases that came out last year.
Yep.
Like, so, I mean, how's this going to go forward? That's why I'm interested.
Mm-hmm. Now, I have a question for both of you, and this is especially directed at Lindsay. Do you want to see, like, high-definition, cleaned-up versions of the movie? Especially, like, if you see... Like, if you watch A New Hope now on a really, like, giant TV, you could probably notice, like, all the little imperfections of it. Would you want that stuff kind of, like, cleaned up a little bit? I mean, as long as they don't add anything?
I mean, to be honest, like, I don't care on that. I like watching old... I watch old movies on screen all the time. I went and saw... I saw Jurassic Park in theaters when it was back in theaters recently.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think they remastered it, from my understanding. I may be wrong on that, and feel free to correct me.
They 3D'd it.
They 3D'd it, but I don't think they remastered it.
They didn't. They didn't do any changes other than doing the 3D.
Yeah, the little 3D. And was it remastered? Was it remastered? Did they clean it up or anything?
I don't think so.
But... to be honest, like, again, the main thing that with Star Wars is because so much of it was, I mean, almost all of it was practical effects. Practical effects pretty much hold up. There are things that are going to look different on a high definition television, but because they're practical effects, it doesn't detract from the viewing. Like, if you watch The Thing now, the old version, there's not I don't have a remastered version of it. And when I watched it in high definition, I didn't see it until I was older, right? Until I had a high definition television. And it still was as terrifying. It was still terrifying to me because it was practical mm-hmm. effects. And so I think because it's practical effects and it wasn't relying on special effects, I don't think it necessarily needs to be cleaned up or anything. The only thing I would say is if their original copy, because it would have been film, if the film is damaged and they need to clean up the film, I can understand them doing some restoration there.
Yeah.
But I would say, like, I don't think they need, I personally don't feel the need that they need to clean it at all. Mm-hmm. Or zhuzh it, really, you know.
Yeah. I like, I mean, I'm a big old movie guy, so I don't mind if things don't look like they do now, because it's really not, obviously, it was made in a different time with different techniques. It's not going to be perfect. And that's one thing that bugs me about movies now, is that I feel like they try to be too bombastic with, you know, effects and stuff. And I'm just like, I don't care. But when it comes to Star Wars, I'm like you. If they do this, I want to see it. I definitely want to see it in high definition. So, like, clean up, like, if there's, like, parts of a frame or something that's grainy or something, you know, clean it up. Make it look, presentation-wise, good. The only parts that I would change is if it was, like, really, really noticeable. I know that sometimes when I watch the 2007 Laserdisc versions on my computer, sometimes, like, if the TIE fighter is flying through space, you can see...
How are you fitting a Laserdisc in your computer?
I mean the DVD version, Mike. Come on. But, you know, when the TIE fighter flies through space, you can see, like, the blocking of it, which it doesn't detract from the viewing, and, you know, in my opinion, because I think that's just cool, because you get to kind of get a tiny behind-the-scenes glimpse of what they did to film that scene. But mm-hmm. that's something that I wouldn't mind if they changed, just because I feel like if they could go back and change that while they were editing the film, they would. Or, like, make it look a little cleaner. So, I mean, that's the little tiny things, just to make the overall presentation good. I wouldn't mind. Mike, do you have any more thoughts on it?
I like watching older movies. That's why I'm on the Retro Convo. So, and we talked about this, like, we did Labyrinth earlier this year, mm-hmm. and I talked about how, because this movie was made in the VHS era, like, watching it in HD is really an awkward experience because of things like the blocking and, like, the obvious green and blue screen usage in that movie. Mm-hmm. And now that movie's in 4K, and I don't even want to look at it. I think that's how I feel about this one. Like, because those movies are VHS era, high definition versions of something that old are going to look weird. Like, yes, we want them, but do we really want them? Mm-hmm. Specifically because those models weren't made for our projectors today.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be noticeable. And to me, that detracts from my experience. Like, I don't know. Part of me, like, wants it because it's that original version, and because I did see it when I was younger. But then, like I said, do I want it?
Mm-hmm.
Or how bad do you want it, really? I completely understand what you're saying.
Okay, another example is the first Ninja Turtles movie. That movie is an indie film, and it was also very grainy and dark and everything. And I own the DVD version of it. For the Turtles' 25th anniversary, they cleaned it up and made a Blu-ray version. But it was a very shoddy cleanup, and where they really just kind of turned up the brightness, and that ruins it.
Yeah, that's not how you clean something up.
And I'm not saying that's what Lucasfilm's going to do.
Oh, of course.
But that's
the exact wrong way to do something.
Exactly. And that's what I'm worried about. With this, is like, is it going to be that kind of jarring, like,
Yeah. I trust them to make a good decision if, you know, this turns out to be the case. I mean, like we said, it's just a rumor, so, and these rumors tend to pop up every few years over something.
Everyone keeps sharing that stupid article from, like, Slash Film or whoever wrote it, moviepilot.com, the one that says, oh, they're going to re-release the DVD soon or the original versions on Blu-ray soon.
I will say Disney has a very good track record of remastering things without harming the the integrity of it. Like, they did a good remaster of, like, Mary Poppins and things like that. And so they're used to doing live action. So they have a history of this. So if anybody's going to do it, I'd trust them to do it more than anything.
Yep, definitely.
It's in the right hands.
So moving on to another home release announcement, we got details, finally, of when Rogue One will hit Blu-ray and DVD, as well as digital. The digital version will come out March 24th, so a little bit early than the DVD and Blu-ray, which comes out April 4th. They also announced I wouldn't say a slew of bonus features. I mean, looking here at the list, it's just typical stuff, really, that I would expect from a Star Wars movie in terms of bonus features. We have a Rogue Idea, which is more about the film's concept and kind of talking about Star Wars standalones in general. You have features on the different characters in the film, from Jyn, K2, Esso, Cassian, all the way up to just the Empire. We have Visions of Hope, The Look of Rogue One, which the filmmakers describe the challenges and thrills of developing a bold new look for the movie that can fit within the world of the original trilogy. We have stuff about how they recreated Princess Leia and Governor Tarkin. And finally, Epilogue, The Story Continues. Filmmakers and cast celebrate Rogue One's premiere and look forward into the future to the Star Wars stories yet to be told. And we have a thing called Rogue Connections, which is just about Easter eggs and film facts and whatnot. So, and we're also getting an exclusive version for Target, Best Buy, and Walmart.
That's what I was afraid of.
Yeah. always happens, though. It looks like Target might be the best one. I think Best Buy has a steelbook, but...
Do any of them have deleted scenes?
No.
Then I don't care.
So that is the big controversy, though, because we know about all these deleted scenes, and apparently the discs do not have them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, are they going to reference that, hey, like, we had a whole different ending? We don't know. Like, this is very, very interesting.
And it's funny, I saw a tweet earlier this week that said, reason the deleted scenes aren't on the Rogue One DVD is because they were all in the trailers. So.
All right.
It's not exactly
slow clap.
False.
But it's not exactly true either.
Yeah. But
I would like, it would have been interesting for them to have a piece on the deleted scenes and how the storytelling changed and the new direction they took and how these pieces didn't fit in anymore, but still show them. Like, I like it when movies take a different direction, but they still show you what they created because those were things that were still important at the time.
Yeah.
And you go, okay, we didn't go in this direction, but here's the direction we could have gone, and here's another alternative. Like, I always really, really enjoy that.
Yeah.
And it allows all that hard work that was put into it to be shown as well. Like, it's not lost. I mean, obviously, it's not lost forever. It's somewhere in a vault. But it's allowed to be seen.
I'm looking here at StarWars.com at the press release, and the Target exclusive is a 5-disc set, includes collectible packaging with interchangeable character covers and exclusive bonus content. So it has a Blu-ray 3D plus 2 Blu-ray plus DVD plus DVD exclusive content, 2 additional bonus features, digital HD, and the collectible packaging. Best Buy is the Steelbook packaging. It's a 4-disc set, so it has Blu-ray 3D, 2 Blu-ray, DVD, digital HD, so no extra bonus features. Walmart has a 3-disc set with exclusive K2SO packaging and 2 Galactic Connections trading discs, which I think they did for TFA as well.
What were the trading discs?
I have no idea, but they're dumb.
Okay.
Looking at, they also released the cover, and looking at it, I really like the, I mean, the interchangeable covers are cool, but I really like the Steelbook. It has
I think I want the Steelbook version.
It has the troopers in the water as the cover with the Death Star on the, you know, in the background. And when you open it up, it has the Rogue characters. But I'll probably end up just getting Target just because it has the most content. Like, you know, stuff to watch. I really don't care about the, you know, I don't know. I'm losing my words here.
Like all the extra stuff, or
like I want the extra. Oh, I don't care about like the presentation, the packaging. I just.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, like I get it. Five discs just seems excessive for this movie.
Yeah.
Well,
you've got to have all of the. You gotta have all of the versions of the movie on a disc, and you know, you have Blu-ray and DVD right there. So, and then I don't know.
I mean, yeah, true.
Plus, if you want the 3D part, that's part of it as well. Oh well.
I'm in it for this movie anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So,
you know, speaking of Rogue One, we did get a brief announcement. I just saw earlier today, actually, that they are releasing a Making Rogue One, a Star Wars story book, that is coming out in fall 2017, October 3rd to be exact. The author is Josh Cushins. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, but that's what I'm going with. It's currently available for pre-order, and I know no details about it, except I assume we're just going to find out the making of.
Maybe that'll have the information I want in it.
Mm-hmm. I think in terms of production, this was one of the more interesting in terms of development, like actual start of production to end of production. Maybe TFA could have had like it has like a better pre-production story, just because you know you got a cast and you involve the sale of Lucasfilm and all of that stuff. Plus, people were talking about, well, how much of George's version are you using, plus the Michael R. departure. But I think Rogue One had the most interesting production that I want to read about. So.
Yeah, the Governor and the Princess, or the Princess and the Governor special, like, that seems pretty interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I like a lot of, like you said, like a lot of the production that went into this movie fascinates me.
Yeah.
But specifically because it is the new one. Like it because it was trying to recapture something. Rather, like TFA is good because it took things into the future and like that whole aspect of it. But this is trying to recreate something that so many of us have like memorized.
Yep.
So I'm more interested in this. So.
Mm-hmm. I will say this: I'm a little disappointed that they're not doing that. Like they didn't have like a making of documentary for this one. I feel like again, if you're going to have any kind of making of documentary for a Star Wars movie, it's going to be this one.
I feel like they split it up though. Like you look at what every one of these like featurettes are covering, a rogue idea, how it got pitched.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have Visions of Hope. You know, they describe the challenges, the Princess and the Governor, like describing how they brought those characters back. Like it's not one single making of, it's broken up into all
of
these.
That is a good point. I just hope that they come through with it.
I want a really good director's commentary.
Yeah, which isn't on the disc.
So that's that. I'd rather have that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I've seen a lot of people talk about, is that they want a commentary, and I don't. Think
and we, you know what? You know what's going to suck? They're probably going to do what they did with TFA and release a new one later this year for Christmas. That's going to have the Gareth Edwards commentary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, well.
Oh, they know what they're doing.
they know that Star Wars fans will continually buy the movies unless their name is Lindsay Siepen.
Not me.
Not me.
I'll buy Rogue One, but will I get this Ultimate Edition? I don't know.
Yeah, I got TFA when it came out. I watched half of it and then got distracted doing something else, so I paused it, and I've not watched it since.
So. See, I got burned by Lord of the Rings, and I'm never allowing that to happen to me again. Here's the first copy. Oh, we're going to do extended editions, and then we're going to do it all on Blu-ray.
Mm-hmm.
No,
and then we're going to do all the again. Blu-ray extended.
Yep, and then I waited. I waited until the Blu-ray got Blu-ray extended and just held out. And I didn't buy any of the Hobbit movies until they went Hobbit extended, and then I didn't buy the end, and then I just stopped buying Hobbit movies because I got smart. Because Peter Jackson didn't deserve my money for that last movie. But that's a different franchise.
Yeah.
But yeah, it'll be interesting because, I mean, they did have TFA deleted scenes, so I just want my deleted scenes. I'll just watch them. Well, I mean, I'll watch them on YouTube.
Yeah.
That's what happened with TFA. I just watched them on YouTube.
Yeah.
Wherever they were released. I can't remember. Facebook. Wherever fine releases are sold.
So we did get one more announcement this week, which honestly, still not a big fan of, but we got a cast photo of the Han Solo movie. And unlike the cast photo of Rogue One where they were in costume, this one, they're just, aside from the guy that plays Chewbacca, they're all just in normal everyday attire in the cockpit of the Millennium Falcon. And aside from the fact that they announced that production is beginning and that I assume this release date will eventually change, but right now it's coming out May 25th, 2008.
I hope it doesn't. That's right by my birthday. But, yeah, I was going to say.
But yeah.
But I mean, it'll be good to have a Star Wars movie back in May.
Oh, yeah. I would gladly take that. But I mean, will they? That's the question.
I mean, they're having really good luck releasing it in December.
Mm-hmm.
And making Christmas kind of the new summer season.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Like, it'd be nice if it stayed, but because that's a, that's a Memorial Day weekend.
It's 6 months after episode 8, or 5 months after episode 8, really.
Yeah. Is that too soon? Yes. Does that bring in the fatigue that people are talking about? So
I think it's too soon. Just again, like you said, the fatigue. And also, they're just starting production, and you want the movie to be finished and released in a year and a half. It's not going to happen. Under a year and a half, actually.
That's true.
Yeah.
Unless you get, the ball rolling. No, I mean, it's not, no. I wouldn't get my hopes up if I was anybody. I mean, it would be nice, but whatever. I will say it is tempting to see a Star Wars movie tackle a lot of these summer blockbusters. Because back in the early 2000s, yeah, you obviously had the summer blockbuster, but you didn't have a Marvel movie every summer. You didn't have, a lot of these big budget action movies that are coming out now that, tend to dominate the box office. So it is pretty tempting to kind of put Star Wars up there to see how it holds up.
I mean, yeah, I feel like that's kind of why they started going with these December releases, because no one was there to compete with them.
Yeah, and now that they've dominated it with TFA and even Rogue One, not as much as TFA, but it still, made a lot. Now that they have a stranglehold and no one wants to challenge them, so.
I mean, that's good. I mean, they don't need to fight everybody.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe one of these days we'll get something that'll get me excited for the Han Solo movie, because even a cast photo didn't do it for me. Sorry. Maybe we'll see something in Celebration.
Yeah, I don't care.
I talked about it last night on Retro Convo. To kind of go from how diverse a cast Rogue One was to, white guy, white guy, white girl, Chewbacca, Donald Glover, like, it just seems like a step backward. Now, we don't know who Emilia Clarke and Woody Harrelson are playing yet. They could be aliens. But like we talked before, like, aliens aren't an excuse for diversity. So, I mean, and we don't know if this is the full cast either. So yeah, I don't want to start a hashtag movement just yet. Yeah, but
I refuse.
Solo so white.
Do any of that kind of protesting.
SSW. Oh my gosh.
But you know what I mean? Like, I don't want, like, initially I'm a little disappointed, but it's way too early to tell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, we have more diversity in the TFA cast even.
Yeah. People, I remember when that was first announced and people were throwing a hissy fit, and I'm like, guys, half of the cast that you're talking about couldn't be changed because it's the old cast. You're talking about the new ones, which we don't even know. They're, like, look at all the people that got added on. It was a dumb thing, and I refuse to acknowledge any kind of protests or anything like that until you get me a full cast list, and then I will tell you if they need more diversity or not and more representation. But that's a topic for Echo Base.
Well, have us on for that one, because we got things to say.
So lastly, and this is most certainly not like some small bit of news that we're going to just throw at the end of the show because it's unimportant. Toy Fair was this past week.
Yes.
Weekend. And we talked a little bit about it on the last Outer Rim, but there was no news at the time. But we did get some good announcements. Do you guys want to talk about that? Because I didn't have time to look at this before we started recording.
I mean, Mike, you're the big toy guy.
I've been a hunting dog looking for stuff at Toy Fair, which did not disappoint. Looking at all the stuff that's going to be coming out for 2017, all the stuff from Hasbro with their 40th anniversary line. So what's cool there is they're going to be re-releasing some of the first wave of Star Wars Black Series in the 6-inch scale. Some of the harder to find ones like R2-D2 and the Stormtrooper, which sold out very quickly because people like the troop build with that figure. I personally didn't get one. I got a Sand Trooper instead, but I'm getting the Stormtrooper this time. And so what they did is they're filling out the series by announcing like the last kind of two characters they didn't make in the Black Series yet, which was the Vinyl Coat Jawa and the Death Star like commando with like the weird satellite helmet. And that fills out like all of the characters from the original toy line, and they're all done on those retro Kenner card backs. And there's a special diorama that I can't remember who, I think it's Entertainment Earth exclusive, or there's a box set, but it includes this diorama that folds out, and it's based on the original toy ad, which is just a really, really cool thing for them to do. And because Hasbro owns Kenner now, like, that's the only way they could have done that. So I mean, that's exciting. I'm a model guy, so looking at some of the stuff from Revell and from Cotobukiya and especially Bandai and Tamashii Nations, I mean, there's so many cool things coming out. Like, Cotobukiya is really good at their artifact series, which are basically statues. So those are personally some of my favorites. Then they have, Hasbro has the new Centerpiece Collection, which if you collected Star Wars toys back around Attack of the Clones, Hasbro had the Star Wars Unleashed series. This is very reminiscent of that, a little bit bigger in terms of how much of a footprint they have. But I think they're a little bit smaller than the actual statues that used to be there. But that's really cool. And Revell, what they do, like, mostly they just do snap together models, and you know, their X-Wings are really good looking. So like, if you want a good cheap model, Revell's the way to go. Going back to Hasbro, we got more pictures of the Hera Black Series figure, which I've been dying for and someday will be mine. But we also saw the Baze and Chirrut, 2-pack. We saw more Lando. We saw the Crimson, you know, Red Guard for the Emperor. Like, there's so many cool things coming. And if you want a good, cool video of it, the Star Wars show recently, did that. And our friend Justin Bolger, who is now at Lucasfilm, was at Toy Fair, and he shot a really cool video of him, like, trying on the role play Poe Dameron helmet and looking at all the other toys. So, yeah, this is going to be an exciting year for toys.
Yeah, definitely.
And we still haven't seen everything yet, because we don't know. Like, Toy Fair is cool because you get an idea of what's coming.
But not all of it.
But we haven't seen, other than the box art that we talked about last week, we haven't seen anything for
the new
Last
movie.
Jedi yet.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, we've seen some. And I haven't been able to find really good, solid pictures of any of the Lego stuff yet. I mean, I know that they've released, there's a Tarkin out. But I haven't been able to find much about the Tarkin set, like what set he comes with. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I just know that I was only able to find like a picture of a blue.
That's part of a Rogue One set though.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
But like, so, I haven't been able to find more information about the Rogue One set. Like, I've just found a couple pictures of it, but not any details. So like, I'm excited about that, but it's, you know, I want more info. I always like the Star Wars Lego stuff, even if it's really expensive. Mm-hmm. I remember when Legos weren't so expensive, yeah. But yeah.
Yes, I think, yeah, he's only in the Rebels set and the Death Star redesign from last year.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's it. He's not in anything new.
Oh, okay. I saw it in one of the Toy Fair things. It might have been an old picture.
I think they were just showing off just some older sets from the year. But also, Lego is a good indicator of what's going coming, because mm-hmm. a lot of the Lego stuff tends to leak overseas first.
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, it's not 100% accurate to what's going to be appearing in the movie. Like, good example is the Iron Man 3 movie. We got a toy set where the Mandarin is fighting Iron Man in a speedboat chase, which I don't know if you guys saw Iron Man 3, didn't happen.
Yeah.
But we also found out about Giant Man in Civil War from a Lego set.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. it's very hit or miss. So if you want a good indication of what's going to be coming in Last Jedi, like, look at the Lego sets, but also do your research. So.
Yeah. I remember when TFA was coming out that there were some Lego sets that they didn't announce but got leaked, and people were looking at the minifigs on the box art because at that time we hadn't really seen pictures of a lot of the characters. I remember people were asking who Constable Zuvio is, because I think he's included on like the Millennium Falcon set or something, because it's part of Jakku. And yeah. You're right, Mike, though. Those are the ones to really look out for if you're looking for, you know, hints at what we should expect from the movie, at least in some form.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I try not to get too excited about the toys, because I don't want to ramp it up too much and it either be, one, a really bad product, or two, a really good product that I'll want to go buy. Because, you know, I don't have the space or the room for it or the money for it anymore. So I've got to watch that. But hopefully we'll get some more announcements as the spring arrives. We get into celebration and then the summer convention season, which always gives us good stuff. So yeah, yep. that is all the news we have this week. I feel like this is a short show, but it's really not, because we had quite a lengthy discussion about pretty much everything here. So, do you guys have any last words? Or
I'm excited to see what's going to be coming in the next couple weeks for Celebration. Like, there's going to be a lot of stuff dropping, so.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I do want to promote real quick, sometime in March, for the Echo Base podcast that myself, Eric, and Lou do, we will be doing a series of Celebration-related episodes that will offer tips and hints and tricks and what to expect if you're a first-time congoer and how to plan schedules and what to pack and all this good stuff. So be on the lookout for that. I'll probably promote it here, too. And if you are a convention goer, too, this goes for you, too, as well, and have advice for us, let us know because, you know, we want to make sure we get all of the bases covered and, you know, we don't want somebody going to Orlando for the first time and saying, oh, well, the people in Echo Base told me this or didn't tell me that. Why didn't they say that? So, yeah.
So that's we'll take care of you guys. Don't worry.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think that is all the time we have on this week's episode of The Outer Rim. If you like what you heard, or, you know, if you don't like what you heard too, fair game. Our email is outerrim@randomchatter.com. That goes to myself, Mike, and Lindsay, so one of us is bound to see it. We also have our Facebook, which is facebook.com/randomchatternetwork. Our Twitter is @OuterRimPodcast, and the network Twitter is @RandomChatter. My Twitter is @TheCurseOfChris. Lindsay's Twitter is @BettyBloodshed. That is BETTIE, Bloodshed. And then Mike's Twitter is @It'sTheRocketeer.
There is multiple ways that you can check out randomchatter.com. You can go to the website randomchatter.com, which will have all of the shows on there broken down by genre. We have TV show, Star Wars, and general entertainment. So definitely check out that. There's a handy drop down menu that'll show you everything. There's a ton of TV show written reviews and book reviews too, written by some of our other staff members. So definitely go check that out. We're also on Patreon. So we just want to give a shout out to all of our Patreon donors. You all know who you are. Just throwing it out there, but $1 gets you access to our Slack channel, which is where the party is at, so you can talk to all of us. I've even started popping in a little bit more just to say hi to everybody, and more than good mornings now. But it's really handy because, you know, we really, really love our listeners, and you guys provide us with a lot of the topics that we discuss, especially on my other show, Retro Combo. So definitely, you know, check that out if you guys want it. You know, no pressure, but patreon.com/randomchatter. You can also find Random Chatter and all of the other shows on iTunes or wherever podcasts are sold.
Mm-hmm. And don't forget to leave a review for us too. Even if you reviewed the old Random or the old Outer Rim when it was the entertainment news show, go back and edit it or re-review us, whatever.
Yeah, let us know what you think of the new format, mm-hmm. because this is a new thing we're trying here. So, yeah.
So far, we've gotten pretty good, not reviews, but pretty good comments about it from especially the people on Slack. They say they kind of like the laid-back nature of promoting the news rather than just like, you know, we're not CNN headline news or anything.
Yeah, definitely no fake news here.
Yeah.
So
hopefully. All right. Well, that's all we have time for this week. We will be back next week, same time, same place. So until then, take care, everybody.
Hey, sorry, folks. I'm sure to do better next time.
This podcast is copyright to randomchatter.com and is not affiliated with Lucasfilm or Disney. All music and sounds are copyright to their respective owners.